It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this last show of the season. Oh my gosh, it went so fast. And it's also the finale of the PGA Tour season, with the Tour Championship taking place at East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia. And joining us from there now is Adam Shupak, senior writer for Golf Week. Hey, Adam, welcome back to Talking Golf.
Yeah, can't believe it is the end of the season. But yeah, we're down to the final round of the Tour Championship today and going to crown the FedEx Cup champion in a few hours.
And what do you think? Can Scottie Scheffler put a bow on this baby? What a season he's had.
Yeah, I mean, if you spot the number one player in the world who's already won six times and a gold medal, five strokes going into the final day, I think it's a pretty good chance he's going to hang on. But, you know, 2 years ago, he led by six going into the final round, and Rory went and shot 64 and beat him. So, you know, it's, as Yogi would say, it's never over till it's over. But I would say Scotty is just had an incredible season, and this would be quite the way to cap it off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can you imagine if he would not win with a five-shot lead? But as you mentioned, and I mentioned it earlier, 2022, he had a six-shot lead, but he's a much better putter than he was in 2022, right? This season, his putting has been extraordinary. In fact, I heard Brandel Chamblee talking about his putting. He said, they are essentially the same player at tee to green. I never thought I'd be able to say that. Tiger Woods was a much better putter. What we are seeing this week is Tiger Woods type putting. So interesting comparison there. Do you agree with that?
I think, you know, it's close to Tiger-like putting this week. He ranks second in the field in strokes gained putting. And when Scotty's putting this well, it's not a fair fight. The guy is number one in 26 different statistical categories this season on the PGA Tour. Putting is not one of them. So when he puts like this, and makes, you know, 19 footer on 14 for birdie, 23 footer at 16. He's looking really strong. Will he putt as well today? I mean, he's struggling on these greens. The course went through this big restoration. Whatever they changed to them, it seems to be a positive for him, because he's had his three best putting days ever at East Lake the last 3 days. I think, you know, if he's just solid on Sunday, as long as he's par or better, I think he wins this. Unless, you know, Colin Morikawa did shoot 63 in the third round. He shot 61 last year at East Lake. He's driving the ball great, leading the field in driving accuracy. So if you're putting the ball in the right spot in the fairway, you have chance to kind of play aggressive and make a lot of birdies at this course. I don't think it's over, the fat lady's warming up.
And Morikawa, man, you got to give him credit. He has been trying. I mean, he came up with, a lot of great rounds this week, but he's going to have to play something really special today. And Scheffler will have to falter for anything else to happen. But let's look at players who won seven or more times in a single season. Tiger won seven times in 2007. He won eight times in 2006. Vijay Singh actually won nine times in 2004. Yeah. And then Tiger winning nine times in 2000 and eight times in 99. So from what you've seen, Adam, this year with Scotty, can you make any comparisons to any of these seasons that I just spoke about?
I think so. And this has been as dominant as we've really seen since Tiger. I mean, Vijay had the one season where he, you know, kind of eclipsed him and got to world number one for a stretch in 04, as you mentioned. But, you know, what Scotty's done this year, he won the Masters, he won the Players, which, you know, we call the fifth major, and then was just dominant in the signature events, winning mostly, you know, most of his other wins were in those events on some of the toughest courses against the strongest field. It's really, and then the gold medal coming back on the last day to do that. I always say the majors is what matters, and that's who I'm going to vote for player of the year. And Xander won two of those, but the way Scotty's played throughout, I actually think, you know, if it even if it's only six wins, if, say, Colin Morikawa were to win today, to me, Scottie Scheffler, you know, pound for pound, was the best golfer this season. He's who I would be voting for player of the year. And I think he's going to win it for the third straight time, which is, you know, that just doesn't happen. That is Tiger-esque, and that's the type of year he's had.
Absolutely. I would be all over that, too. There's no doubt in my mind that Scottie would be player of the year. But yet, Adam, ratings for golf have been down this year. And you have to wonder why. Do you think, I mean, Scottie, as good of a golfer as he is, he's really not a personality that moves the needle, right? So you look at some of these incredible performances this year, not only from Scottie, but, you know, Xander and a number of other players. Are these personalities enough to get golf ratings up? We're seeing a decline in golf ratings, but I know there's other reasons, too. I mean, the media landscape has changed for everything, right? You know, people are consuming sports and news in different ways on a variety of platforms, whether it's TV, cable, digital, YouTube, whatever. So that's affecting ratings in everything. But what do you think about why golf ratings may be down?
Well, the golf ratings, I think it probably has to do with this whole PGA Tour Live rift, and people are just tired of waiting to find out what's going to happen. And, kind of the greed in golf has turned a lot of people off, especially I think the casual sports fan is like, I don't care about these guys right now. I'm a little over this. And I think that has been a factor. I think people are turning off golf and saying, you know, I like it. I want to tune in when the best players are playing together. And so maybe at majors, they turn it back on. I just think the fact that there was supposed to be a deal in December, and now we're in August, we're nowhere, don't seem to be very much closer. We're not getting any details on the progress other than to say they're still talking and they want to do a deal. It's just, I think that has turned people off to the sport. And, you know, I don't think it's Scottie's fault. I think, you know, he's had some incredible performances that people enjoy. You know, Tiger didn't say a lot to the media. Scottie lacked some of the fist pumps and stuff. But, you know, I think he also was in jail for right before he went out for a round. I think people were amazed by that. And now everybody in the world knows who he is. If you didn't know who Scottie Scheffler was before the PGA Championship, you do now. So I don't think it's Scottie's fault that the ratings are down. I think it's a bigger issue and something that hopefully in the next 12 months gets addressed and we can move forward as one sport again.
But that unification issue, if it does happen, who knows if it's going to happen or not, and we can talk about that in a second. But do you really think, you know, I know Bryson DeChambeau, he moves the needle. But beyond that, I mean, Brooks, people want to see Brooks. Yes, we want to see these guys play each other, which, you know, the top players from LIV who have qualified for the majors, that's when we see them. But do you think that will really make a big difference? It will be interesting to see. First of all, the commissioner, you know, did not say much in his address earlier this week at the Tour Championships, right? He never really talks about the negotiations between the PGA Tour and the Saudi PIF. Do you, Adam, think a deal will get done?
I think it will, but I think it's going to be a while still. I think that the DOJ is looming as to how can these two organizations unite, and the question of is it a monopoly, I think is slowing things down. But I think that for golf to move forward, I just think they need to come together, figure something out. I still feel like, you know, the time from the fall until when the season, PGA Tour season really begins in January, might make the most sense for where LIV could fit in, and they could work together and allow players to, you know, there are not a lot of PGA Tour stars that are going to be teeing it up in the fall anyway. This is their off season. If they really want to go chase even more money than they've already made, I feel like there's an opportunity for these guys to go play overseas in some of these bigger money LIV events, if that's what's gonna happen, if LIV's gonna continue. And it seems like, you know, after 3 years, as they're kind of winding down this latest season, while people aren't that interested in it and they're tuning in, unless Saudi PIF decides to pull the plug on all the funding, as long as they're still committed to pouring the money in, the players, you know, have agreed to show up, and they're, you know, have found some niche areas, when they go to Australia, they draw big crowds and the people love it. So, you know, it's a big world, and there's some places with pent up demand to see some of the great players that they have playing there, like John Rahm. You take John Rahm to Spain and some of these other places. I think that they can draw some crowds. And, you know, if you brought some of the top PGA Tour players and got them involved during the fall, and maybe not as much during the regular season, maybe they can work together. That's what I envision happening down the road.
Oh, I think LIV will continue to exist on its own. And then to me, this unification would be just figuring out a way to fold back some of the stars from LIV into the PGA Tour tournaments if they want to come back and play some of the PGA tournaments. I would think John Rahm would like that, and maybe Brooks, but who knows if they, and Bryson, but, you know, do they really want to come back and play PGA Tour events?
I would think they do. I would think some of them will. It'll be interesting, you know, how do they bring them back? I mean, they're already talking about fewer PGA Tour cards in the future. So when there's even fewer spots, how do you fit these guys in when guys are going to be, battling? When you're talking about shorter fields, if it's, you know, they've already got the signature events with 70. There's talk of maybe going up to 100, and then shortening the 144 and 156 fields to 120. And it's just, there's a lot of, it is a complicated thing to do, but I still wish they just get in a room and try to figure something out and get some answers and make a decision and come to an agreement before too long. And I asked Jay, is there a deadline? And he said, there isn't really a deadline. We just want to make the best decision. So I think this thing drags out for a lot longer.
The question to me is, do these players on the players policy board really want to bring these guys back? That to me is what is the big issue.
I think there's some that want to make them feel some pain. They feel like they got a lot of money, and I think what eventually happens is those guys will never be allowed to have any of this ownership equity that the players now have. And so that will be the thing that they won't, that will be the way they'll bring them back in, is like they'll be back, but they'll be more like helping grow their value.
Adam Shupak of Golf Week, always a pleasure. Enjoy the finale.
Thanks so much, Ann.
Championship today. Enjoy. Hope it's cooling down in Atlanta, too. My thanks to Adam Shupak, to Renee Powell, to Rami Levy in the studio. Mark Malusis is up next. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori was brought to you by Ivy Cole Luxury Athleisure Apparel for men and women, featuring the exclusive icicle cooling technology along with UPF 50 Plus sun protection. Visit ibkol.com to learn more. And, hey, this wraps up the 2024 Talking Golf season. I hope to be back next April, the Sunday before the Masters, for another season of Talking Golf. Until then, would love to hear from you. Enjoy football season. Be safe. Be kind. And I look forward to talking to you next April, right on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.